Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to the Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Luke Cutford, and this week's special guest, the fifth Sci Guy, Noah Vince.
Hey!
This week we're talking about silly shrooms and psychedelic science, but first we have a wee review.
Ooh.
This one comes from the Netherlands. It says, best one out there. It's 5 stars and goes on to say, when I found out about this podcast, I couldn't stop listening. Instead of listening to music, I mostly listen to this amazing podcast.
Nice.
Perfect to have on around in the background or just to laugh and learn something new at the same time. Great podcast.
Ah, thanks.
Very nice.
What do you think of the podcast?
It's so-so. I wouldn't spend 5 years doing it, I'll tell you that much. Okay? And I've got a question for you both and everyone who's watching or listening. Now, if you are listening on Apple or anywhere that isn't Spotify, really, you want to answer this question, you go to YouTube, you go down to the comments, you can do that. Or what you could do is dig into the ground. Just dig deep down, and then just curl up into a ball until you form into, like, you know, a spore-like thing, I guess. And just wait there. Stay dormant for a long, long time, okay? And then at some point, your time will come, you'll sprout, and you can answer the question. The question is, have you ever had truffles or magic mushrooms?
No.
Well, no, right now. Yes.
Yes.
That was a very confusing answer, Luke, but that leads me on to my next point, which is a quick disclaimer. I need to read that out for everyone. This disclaimer is, before we hop into this very special episode, we can't stress enough that this is not intended to promote or encourage illicit drug use or recreational drug use. We're recording this episode to demonstrate its effects in a controlled environment under supervision and with our vitals like heart rate and whatnot being measured.
How do you measure whatnot?
All of us here at SciGuy strongly encourage you to follow your local laws and partake only when it is legal and safe for you to do so. Shall we start the episode?
Yeah. If it wasn't clear.
So with that, I think we should start on a very basic question. What are mushrooms?
Mushrooms or magic mushrooms?
Mushrooms. The muggle variety.
Fungus.
Yes.
Fungi.
Yes.
Plural.
Thank you. I am a
flowering body. They are. They're the flowering body of a wider organism.
A fungus?
What's it called? Like, there's a thing that's under the ground, and it's got
root
like
system.
No, it's like the main thing. It's like the
mitochondrial mat.
Mycelium.
Yes.
Mycelium.
Thank you very much, off the camera person. Yes, mycelium, and then that sends up these little guys. These little fruiting bodies that go, oh hello. But they're not like the main event. They're like the NPCs.
They're like the sex part, basically.
They're the sex part. They shove their dicks into the sky, but mostly they're under the ground.
Yes.
They do look like dicks as well. Sometimes. They do. Like, sometimes.
So, yeah, mushrooms are like usually... they're umbrella-shaped fruiting bodies of certain fungi. So not all fungi produce mushrooms, but certain fungi do.
Yeah, right? I don't.
Let me see under your armpit.
You may be fruity, but you're definitely not a fun guy. Sorry. So there are over 144,000 known species of fungus.
What?
Yeah. It's a big, it's a whole kingdom, isn't it? There's Animalia, there's plant, and there's...
There's two. There's two of the 144,000.
There's fungus.
So is it like saying mammals? Or is it like saying animals?
It's like saying animals.
Whoa.
Yeah, so fungi are neither plants nor animals. They include yeasts, mildews, molds, mushrooms, many, many different things can be a fungus. And they don't all necessarily look very similar. Now, before, in the past, people thought that fungi were plants, which makes sense. I mean, we still kind of consider them to be plants right now. I mean, if you look at plant-based foods, a lot of them have mushrooms in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are mushrooms plants?
No.
So are plant-based foods a lie?
They're not plant-based foods.
Exactly. Plant and fungus-based
I got
foods.
So many lawsuits to file. Every meal I've had for like 10 years.
But like seriously though, I'm actually curious as to whether you could do something about that. Because if they're... No, okay. If they're pushing back on, you know, cheese, vegan cheese being called cheese because it's not made from animal milk,
yeah,
then surely we should all be pushing back on plant-based foods being called plant-based when... they have mushrooms in them.
To be fair as well, like if something was going to have feelings between plants and mushrooms, it would be mushrooms.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, because they
mushrooms are kind of...
contribution, no?
No, sorry. They're cute, you know.
That's like what we keep Noah around for. He's a fun guy,
and
right?
We all know, conscious experience directly correlates with how cute you are.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, God. So we thought that fungi were plants, but they're actually not. They're kind of like more... they're like... orcs to
they're
the
like
plants
aliens.
Elves I guess, right? They're distinct in a bunch of different ways, right? They've got they don't have
orcs. They're like orcs.
Is this a Lord of the Rings reference?
I mean, it's a high fantasy reference. Okay. But yeah, Lord of the Rings also.
Yeah, I've seen that movie once.
But yeah, no, they are very distinct from plants. They've got differences in their cell walls and membranes. They've got a few different things. Like, the way that they get nutrients is different. So they kind of, I'm pretty sure, they basically spew stuff over food and then absorb the food into themselves. They grow really weirdly. It's actually, the way that they grow is really interesting. It's why they're able to replicate meat so well, a lot of mushrooms, because fungi grow in filaments. So they grow from like the tips of these hyphae, they're called, and they basically digest organic matter. So like living, not necessarily living stuff, but like, you know, stuff from living things.
Trees and stuff?
Yeah, trees, people, you know, all of the things.
Yeah, yeah.
They digest that externally and then absorb it in, and then they grow in, like, filaments.
That's kind of cool. So they have, like, all the stomach acid equivalent, like, outside of them.
Yeah, it's just acid, I suppose.
So they're not
There's
full
no stomach.
Of gross gunk. They're just people. They spit like things and they're like, oh.
It really feels like you are a mushroom, like, disguised as a person right now, trying to, like, yeah, so they're not, like, disgusting. Like, they're pretty, I guess they're pretty, you know?
Like, I just thought they were always so cool. Like, me and my brother would, like, go into the woods and we'd build, like, stuff out of, like, wooden sticks, like, huts, you know? Mm-hmm. You'd make, like, a camp. There'd always be those mushrooms and we'd, like, squish them because there are some that, like, go poof. And all our friends were like, that's so gross. And I'm like, no, it's cool.
Wow, mushrooms hate crime to you when you were younger?
What?
Because they went poof.
They went poof. Like, sure.
I still don't think he's getting it, but...
No, I do, but...
Poof.
Oh, gay. Poof.
Yeah.
Did you
go.
Just
I told you he hadn't got it.
So yeah, that's mushrooms, but what are truffles? Do either of you know?
I know that pigs sniff them out real good.
No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, no.
Sorry, like
not,
yes,
sorry,
100%.
Sorry,
yes.
Not to be that guy, but not all truffles.
I think
they only smell the truffles that we like eating. They don't necessarily smell all truffles. Because the truffles we like eating are really smelly, right?
Sure, but like pigs, like what he said isn't.
Are you right? Underplaying the scent?
I don't.
Of pig.
Okay, can I be the sort of mediator here? Yeah. I want to be clear. I don't think what Noah was saying was the sole defining trait of a truffle is that pigs are used.
I said,
to sniff
I know
them
that
out.
Pigs sniff them out.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. No, cool. I just don't think that's how they harvest the truffles.
Is this a truffle? I don't know. Get the pig!
They're in a little judge suit.
With a little...
Yeah. He says it's truffle, it's truffle.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was going to make a joke about pigs dressing up in police uniforms that felt like it was in poor taste. Yeah, but back to truffles and mushrooms. Do you know what the difference between truffles and, you know, mushrooms or other sorts of fungi?
Yeah,
are?
Well, they grow on the ground.
Yes.
And like on the roots, I think.
Yeah, they can grow like underground on the roots of trees, the ones that we eat, but they don't necessarily have to, I don't think. But no, a truffle is essentially a sclerotia of a fungus.
Of
now, what that is, is a sort of like... No, it's like a kind of, think of it as like a big sort of spore. It's like a very hardy sort of dormant, base sort of form of a fungus, right? So it like it just sits and it waits, and then I think it can grow like more fungus from it.
What's
right?
it waiting oh. for? What's taking this time?
Good times, man. You know, like good times lead to fungi. Oh, yeah, okay. Fungi.
Yeah, you can just about have that one.
There's a joke in there, man. I, like, our audience is laughing.
At and with you.
That's all I ask. The truffle is kind of like, to my understanding, it's kind of like a stage in life of the mushroom, or kind of like a part of it at a certain point, right? Mm. It's the same thing, like fundamentally, just different.
Like a tadpole.
Yeah, like you can think of it like a tadpole or a something like that. Fungi are weird, and so it's really difficult, it feels, to like kind of relate them to things that we understand, because we don't innately understand fungi, I feel. Mm. Like when you know people saying like, oh, this fungus has X number of sexes, and you're like, what? That doesn't make any sense, yeah. right?
I yeah. say good for him, or her, or them.
Or Zim, or Z.
Exactly. Or Marshself.
Mush. Good old Mush.
I will quote for you. Sclerotum.
It's coming directly from the mushroom. So.
So I will quote for you. Sclerotium, a persistent vegetative resting spore of certain fungi. It consists of a hard, dense, compact mycelium that make up the body of a typical fungus that varies form and has a dark-colored covering. It could be a few cells. It could be loads of cells from, like, you know, you could find them up to, like, 10 centimeters big as well. So they're kind of like a spore, if you think of it that way, right? It's just kind of laying dormant, waiting for good times to become
to jump out and scare you.
Boo. Yeah, like, probably take a while to grow, but yeah, you know.
The plants kind of do that as well, don't they? Like they sit and wait, and then they, when something happens to trigger their beginning, then mm-hmm. they'll do it.
Yeah, I think plant seeds. I think crucially, plant seeds are, you know, like baby plants, if that makes sense. Whereas I feel like this is more like an onion or a daffodil bulb, right? Or tulip bulb, I guess, is they have bulbs, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, that shoot up. They're not necessarily like from sex parts of the species. It's kind of like a dormant state it goes into.
Mm.
So magic mushrooms, let's get to those. What are magic mushrooms? Noah, do you have any idea?
They make you think funny things. Who knows? I don't know.
It's almost as good as pigs find them.
I think we need to release a dictionary that is just like a word and then Noah's definition of the word. What is truffle? Pigs find them.
it's like when you're asking what is this thing, and Noah's giving you a list of features of the thing.
Magic mushroom, they've got psilocybin in them, so they make you hallucinate.
Psilocybin.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. Fully, I mean, that is
fully defined,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so magic mushrooms are a hallucinogen. They contain psilocybin, however you want to say it. I don't really care. And some of them contain something else. Luke, do you know what that is?
No. Actually.
Psilocin. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it does, though. Is it like the CBD of the mushroom world?
We'll find out in a little bit. So, there are loads of these kinds of mushrooms. Dozens, hundreds, one could even say. They belong to the same genus. The genus is psilocybe, or psilocybe, some people might say. They're usually pretty small, so the average size is a 7.5 centimeter stalk and a 2.5 centimeter cap, so they're 7.5 centimeters tall and 2.5 centimeters wide. That makes sense. Are we picturing this?
So
if we want a 7.5 centimeters, we just take the size of my penis and take off about half of that. And
okay, yep.
I was thinking inches. Shit. They're pretty small. On average, they're about 7.5 centimeters tall, the stalk, and 2.5 centimeters wide. And look, I'll say this, 7.5 centimeters, plenty. You don't need any more. In fact, you could do with a few centimeters less than that. I think 7.5 is too much, people say.
Maybe, yeah.
One, two is even fine.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's more than okay. And when they're fresh, they usually have a light grayish, yellowish, or brownish stem. I personally have a brown And this one is me as well. Brown or brown and white caps and dark gills. Very, I've got a white cap, dark gills.
No,
brownish stem.
I don't want to. Oh no.
And they're not the only hallucinogenic mushrooms. So there are other hallucinogenic mushrooms. There are with different hallucinogenic compounds. They're usually not as strong, or the compounds are very, very different. And so some people, purists I've heard them described as, would say that the only magic mushrooms are the ones that have psilocybin in them, the ones from that family. Yeah. You look so deep in thought.
I'm now starting to feel it.
So the thing to take away from this is that magic mushrooms are hallucinogens because of the psilocybin and psilocin that they have in them. That's what makes them magic mushrooms. Now, if we talk about the usage of them, right, if we look at the 2018 National Survey on Drug Use and Health in the US, about 1.3% of adults over the age of 26 reported to using any hallucinogen in the past year.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of people.
Millions.
If we look at the UK, though, 1 in 100 people in England...
Sorry.
But if we look at the UK, right, or just England and Wales, in 2023, 1 in 100 adults reported using magic mushrooms, or reported using hallucinogens, right? And magic mushrooms, they've just skyrocketed in use in the past little while. So from the ONS, the Office of National Statistics, why those are such difficult words?
Office of National Statistics.
Why are those? Oh my God.
Office of National Statistics.
So the ONS, the Office of National Statistics.
Good job.
Thank you very much, Noah. First time, right? that would. They say that about 260,000 people from the age of 16 to 59 have taken magic mushrooms in the past year. And yeah, that's like obviously a ton of people for the UK, right? Our population is a lot smaller than the US. So 260,000, quarter of a mil, loads, right? And that was 100,000 more than in 2020. So in 2023, like 260,000, that has risen 100,000 in like just a couple years.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know, right? It's insane.
That's a lot. Oh,
are you gonna say the pandemic?
Yeah,
you're gonna say people stuck inside and like, oh, we're only let's go out. Oh, what are these things growing? And then they just
we have fun at home. Don't need to see people. We imagine them.
Do you miss going outside? Do you want to feel like you're? Do you want to feel one with nature again?
We want to go touch a tree, but in your mind.
And usually they are sold, they're sold illegally, but usually they're sold in the form of just, you know, dried mushrooms, but you can also have them ground up and made into a sort of tea-like thing, put them into capsules, and some people snort them as a powder.
Whoa.
One thing I will say, I don't know why you would do this, but... specifically never inject them because people have died from doing that.
Okay, that's good.
I don't know why you would choose injection as your mode of choice when there are several other easier options. And also, again, an illegal drug that you should not be doing.
Yeah.
But why would you go to that, the hardest and most dangerous way of
putting mushrooms in your veins?
Yeah, hold on. Let me just go shoot up some mushrooms. People shoot up
other
things.
I want to become an air plant, a fucking fungus.
Exactly, but people shoot up other things because it's like the easiest and quickest way of getting it into your system. I think if you're drinking a tea or eating something, do it that way. Yeah. If that's an option, take that. And we should talk about the legality, right? So do you know anything about the legality of these mushrooms?
I think they're Schedule 1 and Class A in the UK.
Yeah, so...
the US.
Yes, so I'm pretty... They're very, very legal in the UK and US. And the Netherlands, where we are right now, they've outlawed them since December 2008.
My hands feel so small. Like,
okay,
so
Uncle Jack,
small.
Fucking...
No, really. They are looking kind of small today.
Yeah, like just put your hand up against mine. Like, no, close your eyes. No. Give me
my body feels so weak and like I'm just holding it up.
There
look, Noah.
Oh,
see,
wow.
What life-saving work, gender reaffirming.
See, look how big your hand is.
Surgery. I hate that even though that's made me infinitely more uncomfortable than anything else.
Look what I could have had!
I'm not upset about it. They just feel so tight. I feel like I've got like
little
doll hands on my little hands.
Why are we not putting this shit in the episode? It's so funny.
Who says I'm not?
Oh no! How you know it? Yes, my hands are very small today. They feel very small. They don't look small, but they feel it. No, they look small.
Ding-a-ling-ling, is that the ad bell?
I hope so. We don't have any other bells in this room.
Well, I'll tell you what we don't have in this room, Luke. We don't have people who have subscribed to SciGuys on YouTube and followed us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
I actually have done all those things.
I have too. But why don't we tell people about why specifically that is a very cool and interesting thing for them to do?
Well, we want to be everywhere with you all the time. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, we want to be there with you. If you're on Spotify, we want to be there with you. And if you're on YouTube, we want to be there with you. And you probably want us to be there with you too.
Even if you prefer to listen on Spotify and don't really watch us on YouTube all that much, it really helps if you subscribe on every single platform because it gets us in front of more people, which means it makes it easier to make this show, which you love, right? You love it. You love us, right?
Give me love. Validate my soul.
Subscribe to SciGuys on YouTube and follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify right now.
Heal the deep, deep chasm in my heart.
Let's get back to the show.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Yeah, so where we are in the Netherlands since 2008, possession of fresh, dry, all of the mushrooms is now illegal, right? Mm. But what's not illegal are the truffles that we mentioned, right? Ah. So those are kind of a little loophole left outside of it, like a little oopsie.
You can have this.
Well, it's more like we're looking at all of these and the law's not looking over there. But since September 2019, magic truffles have been fully legalized and they're taxed and all that sort of stuff, right? So they're legal. Whereas in the UK, it's very different. In 2005, that was when magic mushrooms were made illegal. 2005,
whoa.
Right? Yeah.
So like the 90s, they could just party.
That explains a lot. Well, I mean, that explains a lot about the 90s.
If you think about it, they grow in the UK. I mean, they grow all around the world, right? But they grow in the UK. So to outlaw them would be to kind of like, okay, you're not allowed to go and pick these things that grow, I mean, what, like in fields or forests or something, wherever mushrooms grow,
I
guess.
We do that with knotweed, don't we?
What?
We do that with knotweed.
What's... Oh, yeah, I thought you were saying, like, not weed, you know? Like, we do that with, like, something that isn't weed.
I was like, do I guess?
like Japanese knotweed, we have a lot of rules around it. It's, like, a thing that grows in the UK, and we're like, there's a bunch of rules because it ruins houses.
So Japanese knotweed I want to be clear for anyone listening who doesn't know what it is.
Knotweed, turns out.
Okay, so it's totally separate from drugs. Japanese knotweed is outlawed for a different reason entirely. That's because it's an invasive species in the name Japanese knotweed, and also because it will destroy houses. It's like kind of like mint. Do you know mint, how you should never ever 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 plant mint in a garden?
Don't tell me what to do with my mint.
If you would like everything in your garden to be mint, then plant mint in your garden.
It does as it chooses.
Yes, that's literally what it does.
That's terrifying.
Fucking hell, my hands feel heavy.
Oh wow, how are your hands feeling now?
My hands feel tiny.
Yeah, my hands feel so heavy and big, like I can't even swing them around.
I feel like I feel like my body is just like a large cloak that's been draped over some bones. I feel like I'm just like I'm holding myself up by this one specific joint in my back. I'm like,
can I just say, how funny would it be if we just like threw to Noah every now and then, like, Noah, check in, how are you doing?
Like we're throwing in for the weather.
Over to Noah. Noah.
I can't.
Cloak of skin.
I can have a normal conversation, but that is how my body feels right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You said that in such a way, like almost like someone on the news, like, but that is how my body feels right now. Yep. And
check on
to the next segment. Mint will just stick around in your garden. It is like, it is very, very potent in that way. So you should always keep it in a pot, right? If you're going to grow mint. Mm. Japanese knotweed will destroy houses, like you say. Like it will grow into them and just tear them down. And, you know, it's kind of different. Like mushrooms grow just wild in the UK. Mm. Like they're natural. It would be really weird to sort of outlaw something that just naturally. And also as well, mushroom spores are what like kind of, you know, they grow from. You can't necessarily like see those, right? Like they're pretty little. And so it's going to be really hard to control mushroom growth, right? So you wouldn't be able to really outlaw that. So since July 2005, right, psilocybin has been just outlawed, either fresh or prepared, right? So that's in tea or like dried mushroom, all that sort of stuff, right? Before that, you could buy mushrooms, apparently. Like that's
what?
I don't know, but like I mean, yeah, you could they were widely available even in shops. Is what I've read. Which, like, that's weird. I mean, I was 7.
Yeah.
You know, I was
like
a little boy.
5, 6.
Yeah. You were slightly older.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, for example, when I was 15, 15, 16, we could go to a shop, which I think they called like a head shop, which was like you could buy tobacco and tobacco related products, and that generally included experimental chemicals, which they definitely shouldn't have been selling.
Oh, so that's different, though. Those are like legal highs.
But what I mean is, like, that was a setting in which you could buy something like that, and plausibly, like in 2005, whatever.
That
would be a place where they would sell mushrooms. But it doesn't mean they were in like W.H. Smith.
Oh, maybe sure. Yeah, I think they've cracked down on that now as well, though. So like legal highs, I think, are
It's now blanket illegal.
Yeah, because what would happen before, I think, is it would be they'd have to outlaw a sort of specific compound or group of chemicals. And then they were just like, no.
Yeah, some scientists were just like, okay, let's do one hydrogen on there. Oh, it does the same thing, but now it's legal? Cool.
Or even being like, oh, look, this thing in a fertilizer is similar enough. Let's see if that will... Ooh. Oh, cool, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can, like, chemicals that are similar enough and you could treat them in some... Anyway, right? It's not the point. The fact is that they are illegal in the UK, a Class A drug. It's their possession, use, trade, all of that is prohibited. You could still... buy grow kits, though, but they don't have any psilocybin in them.
For science?
I don't know. It literally says grow kits can be bought legally through specialized websites because they do not contain psilocybin. And
what do they contain?
The spores to make it.
You're
doing it for science.
So growing them isn't legal, but
don't
you can
you
buy
dare
the
put
kits.
That in any mud.
Don't you?
Don't put that in any mud.
You
being serious though?
Had
I was like,
better.
What did I do?
Like, you can have those seeds, but if I see you put them near any mud, you're going down.
It's like outlawing tea. Right, you're not allowed to have a cup of tea anywhere. Here is milk. Here is a tea bag, and here is hot water. You had better not.
You dare?
Okay.
You dare. You can have the tea bag to look at and smell.
And to learn about the dangers of tea bags.
Yes,
of course, right? But yeah, no, it's kind of like that. Now, when do you think the Western world sort of got wind of mushrooms?
Oh, the 70s, surely.
50s.
The 50s?
Yeah.
So their use is ancient, right? So in Central America and some other places potentially, for centuries, they've been using psychedelic mushrooms.
Mm.
And these kind of mushrooms grow all around the world as well. It's not like just one individual place. So they grow all around the world. But it was in the 50s, R. Gordon Wasson took a trip to a place in Oaxaca in Mexico. I don't want to try it. It looks... There's too many U's.
No, I think you should give it a go. Go on.
Huautla.
Yeah, yeah.
De Jimenez.
Oh, yeah.
Huautla.
Yeah. Okay.
You want to get back?
Keep going.
Show me the word.
No. H-U-A.
H-U-A.
Hua.
U-T-L-A.
Huatla. Hualuta.
Huatla.
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 Look, wherever it was a region in Oaxaca in Mexico. Now, he did this sort of ritual with psychedelic mushrooms, and he wrote about it, and that was featured in Life magazine in a 1957 article, and the title was Seeking the Magic Mushrooms, and that's where the name literally comes from.
That's where the name comes from,
apparently, right? And,
wow.
So R. Gordon Wasson didn't come up with the name there himself. It was, I think, an editor in Life. Now, Albert Hoffman.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is, Luke?
Yeah. He's the guy who invented LSD.
The bicycle guy.
Yeah, the bicycle guy. Do you know anything more about him and the bicycle?
Well, he made LSD and then, like, took some and then he took a lot without realizing how strong it was and then went for a bike ride.
Can I just say, right? Like, I know that wasn't in the Netherlands, but, like,
yeah,
hallucinogens and bike riding feels very Dutch. I don't know why. So, obviously, mushrooms had been used in a bunch of different societies for a long, long time, right? But it wasn't until the 50s that it was brought to the sort of Western world. And it was actually sold in a pill form, apparently, in the US by Sandoz, someone named Sandoz. lost his first name.
Mr. Sandoz.
Mr. Sandoz. Or Mrs. But it was the 50s, so probably Mr.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if we talk about psilocybin, what is that?
He's a chemical, and he binds to serotonin receptors in your brain. They bind to serotonin receptors in your brain, and they make it go all funky. That's all I know.
Basically, yeah, no. So psilocybin is produced by more than 200 species of fungi. They can be grown all around the world, come in different shapes and sizes. But psilocybin isn't actually the kind of main active ingredient, right? When you take a mushroom, or you eat a mushroom, or you have anything containing psilocybin, it's not the psilocybin that does anything.
It's your tummy.
Well, you digest it into psilocin. You metabolize it into psilocin, and that's what has the sort of psychoactive effects.
Yes, and it's very important to say at this point, actually, this is one of the reasons it's incredibly dangerous to take a psychedelic whilst you're taking monoamine oxidase inhibitors as an antidepressant, because that gets rid of something in your gut that normally does some of the digesting. Or take some of the potency away. And if you have MOAIs for depression, you get 10 times the dose.
Serotonin syndrome. Mm.
It's really dangerous.
Okay, thank you very much. Jeez. Yeah, no. And so, I mean, we can kind of get into the effects right now, or we can go back and talk about how it works. I'll just quickly say that it activates the serotonin 5-HT2A receptors on the pyramidal... pyramidal cells of the brain.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't mean anything to anyone. I didn't need to...
No, it doesn't.
So the psilocin... Do you
want... Sorry, it's not funny.
Oh! Oh, ow, ow! So yeah, the psilocin activates the 5-HT2A receptors on sort of cells in your brain, which, as you said, they usually sort of take in serotonin. And it basically, because those are sort of like the basic computer parts of your brain, if we put it that way, everything starts to go all wonky. So the way that you perceive time and space and see colors and things, all of that gets thrown out of whack.
Yeah.
So that's why psychedelics have such a kind of like everything effect.
Yeah. I'm starting to see some of that now, actually. Yeah,
I'm sure you are. I can see your fingers going, man.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. So they're where everything kind of gets put together in your brain, and so the binding starts to come loose just a little bit when you have psychedelic. So why don't we talk about the effects of psilocybin?
Yeah, why don't we,
Noah? Do you know about the facts of psilocybin?
It makes my hands look small. I don't know. You get weird feelings.
Don't ask me. It makes my hands look small. So asking me questions makes my hands look small. Stop it.
Just strange body sensations.
Yeah.
That you can't quite describe unless you're feeling them.
Yeah, so you can have distorted vision, so sort of hallucinations, difference in sort of colors, patterns. You can see colors and patterns and whatnot that aren't there. You can get giggly, a sort of euphoric feeling. Time can slow down. It can speed up.
Don't do that.
It can slow down.
Time can slow down. Down, it can speed up, it can speed up, and it can slow right.
You can
down.
Get these sort of different visual things. You can have dizziness, nausea, all of these sorts of effects, right? It's very kind of all encompassing. I feel like when we talk about different drugs on the podcast, that there's very specific things that they kind of do. I mean, I think we kind of talk about how you can understand what a neurotransmitter does based on, or what a sort of receptor for a neurotransmitter does based on what kind of drug, like what the effects of a drug are.
Yeah.
With psychedelics, it's like, man, they just hit everything, it feels like. You
just
know what I mean?
Just absolutely.
On the experiential side, on like the effects and stuff, I just want to ask, what are you experiencing right now? Like, just subjectively, what's going on?
Little bit of sweat.
Oh, nice.
Subjectively. Oh, yeah, a little bit of sweat. Body feels funny. I mean, I feel it less than I did earlier.
Can you see anything, or could you see anything?
Yeah. So like, if I look in detail on like the little log things that are on the ceiling, it feels like it has like little fingerprints.
Whoa! What about if I do this?
Yeah. So it's like
trails. It looks like my hand goes on for ages.
So I don't have that. It just feels really fluid and like nice.
So whilst you're talking, it almost looks like you're sort of a. I'm getting like Aztec vibes. Like, you're sort of turning into like, or like Egyptian prince vibes. Like, my brain is trying to like map onto you, archetypes, right? It's trying to be like, what am I looking at? I'm looking at, I guess, like,
sorry, Egyptian prince inbred and doesn't deserve the position they've got is the first thing that comes to my mind. Wow, sorry, no, carry on, Luke.
That's your self-critic. You can deal with that in therapy. But like, just, I'm talking purely visually. Yeah. That's so funny.
Carry on.
But like, yeah, it's trying to map on like different archetypes onto you. Sometimes it looks like you have like multiple eyes. And the
I do have multiple eyes. I have two.
What?
Mind blown.
Okay. And then the colors are a lot more vibrant. And then it almost has like a sharpening filter over,
yeah,
over everything.
Things are more in focus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the effect there. Some people smoke weeds to combat the nausea because it can get so bad. You can have sort of muscle weakness, loss of appetite, numbness, loads of different things. You can kind of see and hear things that aren't there. I've spoken about that sort of hallucination. So it kind of distorts your sense of reality. You can kind of mix up sort of different senses as well. So that kind of like, what's it, synesthesia? Mm-hmm. You can kind of get, again, I guess sort of temporary synesthesia where you think you can sort of hear colors or taste colors. Colors are a really easy one to, I don't know, taste sounds. There you go. And so there are also some negative effects which will just scoot right on through real quick.
Yep.
Changes in mood, lightheadedness, anxiety and panic attacks, confusion and disorientation, fear or paranoia.
Okay.
Those can all happen.
Oh no.
Yes. So one should be careful. Yeah, no. But you can get facial numbness, increasing heart rate, dry mouth, muscle weakness and twitching, convulsions, exaggerated reflexes. You can have sweating and high body temperature, and that's often followed by chills and shivering. And you can have loss of urinary control as well.
Oh, no.
So those are kind of the effects, right? So we should talk maybe a little bit about the risk really quickly, right? So there's this idea of a bad trip, right? So you can have a bad trip if you take it in high doses or in a bad environment where you kind of have sort of frightening, paranoid experiences. Things don't feel very good, right? So you could do things that could lead to you injuring yourself. If you're trying to run away from something you think is scary, or like you're feeling like, you know, really out of it,
yeah,
it can be dangerous in that way, right? They can cause flashbacks as well, and using them with other substances can cause problems as well. They can exacerbate existing psychiatric conditions, whether you know about it or not, right? So if you're diagnosed or undiagnosed, it's not like diagnosis,
yeah,
magic.
Of course. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But like, yeah, so it can, if you've got an undiagnosed and undetected condition, it can exacerbate the problems of that, right?
Yeah.
So if you talk about sort of schizophrenia or something, it can really exacerbate your problems there. But there's no evidence of death caused by magic mushrooms from an overdose, right? The amount of psilocybin you'd need to take to die from it is like so much more.
There's not space in your tummy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, many do you have to eat?
It's so much bigger than the normal dose that it's not even close.
It's like,
right,
when we did the LSD episode and we talked about how there's like no known level about like how much LSD a person could take that would kill them. They once did it to an elephant.
Yeah.
It was like injecting, I'm not even going to make a guess at the math, but like something stupendous. And then yes, the elephant did die.
Don't do that.
So don't do that.
And don't be an elephant.
Not if you're an elephant.
And don't do that to your elephant.
You know what? If she was just like not being an elephant, then she wouldn't have had a problem. Right. You know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, there's no evidence that death can be caused by taking magic mushrooms. What can happen though is that you're not eating the right mushrooms.
Would cause death, maybe.
Yes, because mushrooms can be very dangerous. And this is, I want to be so clear about this. This is not just for foraging magic mushrooms. This is foraging any kind of fungus.
Yeah.
Please, for the love of God, don't do it unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because even the number of people that have tried to forage just like, you know, non-psychoactive mushrooms and they died because they've gone for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You are not a mycologist. you cannot determine which mushrooms are which just from looking, right? you gotta use like a book that tells you explicitly what to look out for and what to avoid.
Yeah.
And that's where the danger of magic mushrooms comes in, along with, you know, what we're talking
physical
about earlier.
Stuff.
Yeah, the physical stuff. That's along with what we were talking about earlier with the sort of more mental bad trip and stuff. But there's no studies on the long-term effects of repetitive use of magic mushrooms. So we don't really think there's any huge issue with sort of using them chronically. In fact, using them chronically would be kind of difficult. They don't seem to be addictive, right? There's no evidence to say that they're addictive sort of chemically in themselves. But you can build up a tolerance really quickly. So if you take them one day and then take them the next day, that next day, the effects of it are going to be so much less intense than the first day, right?
Yeah,
so you can't
enforce periods of sobriety, which is quite nice.
Yeah, you can't be a chronic user and unless you're just increasing fast, and maybe then you hit the sort of lethal dose if you just every single day
trying to chip every day eventually. Exponentially more every day.
Absolutely.
I just don't think you could do it with psilocybin. You could do it physically. You could do it with LSD, for example. Then maybe if you're ingesting it as a liquid.
Yeah,
but if you're ingesting mushrooms,
maybe your addiction to mushrooms gets to the point where you have a laboratory environment to extract the psilocybin, or you can use psilocybin that is sort of not naturally produced, it's sort of man-made. That's what's used in studies and whatnot as well, just to bring it back. And setting is really important as well. So if we talk about those bad experiences, the set would be your state of mind and sort of your previous experience with psychedelics and sort of your expectations. And the setting is just where you are, who you're with, all of that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
If both of those are good, then the chances are you're probably going to be feeling pretty good. Like any anxieties and stuff, you can kind of fixate on those and that's what causes it. It's kind of like, I just want to get across the idea that magic mushrooms themselves don't just spontaneously cause people have horrible bad trips, right? What tends to be the case is people have feelings of anxiety that are exacerbated or they're in a bad environment, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah. What are the weird stories you were told in school about what a psychedelic would do to you? I was told that there was a man who thought he was an orange and peeled his own skin off.
I can't stop thinking about that
one. I thought someone like jumped off a roof or something.
Yeah, that does happen. That
does
genuinely happen. Yeah. Any weird stories from you?
No, actually, hold on. I was going to say the orange peel one, but that you told me that about 5 years ago. And when I say I've not been able to stop thinking about that, like, literally, I wake up in the middle of the night like,
am I an orange?
What if I suddenly want to peel off my skin?
Oh.
What do I do then?
Oh, okay.
Right? Like, I'm not an orange and I won't peel off my skin.
To clarify.
If you're editing this, Corey, you're not an orange. Do not peel off your skin.
Yeah, don't peel off your skin. I heard a story once about a man who went to, like, someone I know. I can't remember who it was, but someone I know told me that they went to with their wife to give birth and then they enjoyed the NOS so much there wasn't enough for their wife.
No. I was just told the only thing my school had like an entire assembly because they found kids with NOS. So they're like, it will starve your brain of oxygen and you will die.
It's a very weird experience having like coming up on something and then all the visual effects are only on one person and you can't look at anything else. You go, like, you're not looking around at things. You're just like, I'm looking at this one thing.
Yeah.
And watching it change.
Yeah, this controlled environment, it does make it really, really strange, right? Especially reading about all of the things and then like, oh yes, those things are like, usually when we do an episode, I'm not like reading about, oh yes, here are the effects of this disease and
relate
as the disease takes over my
body. Like as it subsumes me, you know, consumes it, like, oh, you know, have first-hand experience whilst you're reading about
the science
others
of the plague. Right. So I've released a bunch of rats and fleas into the room, and we're going to slowly get the plague whilst we describe it.
But we could do another COVID episode.
Oh, open the petri dish. Wah!
I've been saving this one since 2020. I coughed in the petri dish every day.
That's a good video.
No, I think someone did that. I think that, what's his name? There's a YouTuber who did that where he like got someone to make cheese out of his bacteria.
Oh, really?
It was someone who just got like a cheesemonger to make cheese out of their...
A cheesemonger?
A cheesemonger.
Go to cheesemonger. Go make my cheese.
There was a YouTuber who made cheese out of themselves, basically.
I like that idea. Yeah. I would eat my own cheese.
So that would be pretty much everything on magic mushrooms. I do want to talk really briefly about their sort of medical uses. Have you heard of anything about that, either of you?
Well, there's a lot of research saying they're good for depression and good for PTSD and things like that, because basically what they do is they make it so that your brain's default way of talking to the rest of it is broken down, and sort of there's communication from all parts of the brain to all parts of the brain, like cross communicate, and that's partly why you get some of the sort of funny colors and what looks like, oh my goodness, woo! Wow, that's fun. Just gonna entertain everyone here.
Whoa!
and the people that's... watching at home, just like, can you finish your?
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you can, like, sort of, this is not a scientific explanation, and it might be wrong as well, because I've not done my research, but it's something like, my understanding is, like, bits of the brain can talk to other bits of the brain more openly, rather than maybe the hard line way that you've developed, which might be because of trauma, things like that.
Yeah.
And you can sort of reset into a new way of your brain speaking to other bits of your brain.
Yeah.
And that might make you happier than the previous version. But it also can make you much worse.
Yes, yeah,
if you,
yeah, yeah.
If you reset in a worse way, not good. If you reset in a better way, wonderful.
I've seen a lot of, not like stories, like a lot of people that are like dying in hospital are given like psychedelic stuff.
And they like accept death.
They accept death, exactly, yeah. Just opens up.
It's amazing.
I know that sounds great. It just sounds terrifying. Like, here you go. I'm ready for death.
Oh, we already... yeah, I guess.
No, but yeah, no, like, it is... That is really good, right? Like, it's... I mean, we've got the biggest trial on magic mushrooms in relation to sort of depression. Treatment of depression, I should say. That just happened.
If mushrooms are making you depressed. There you go.
Eat up.
Eat them up.
Hey, look, you know, teen girl magazines are just going to have to cut out the middleman at some point, right? Just eat these mushrooms. No, so...
It's to solve the emo is dying. Release the mushrooms.
Oh, my God.
I just like the idea that you get, like, magazine, like kids magazine, and it comes with a free toy, but it's a free dose of mushrooms.
Yeah, just for little girls, so that they...
Just you know. Go ham.
Whoa. There's so many things on the back of my eyes. Anyway, carry on.
So the world's largest trial on whether magic mushrooms can treat depression.
How big was he? Sorry. He's the largest trial in the world. He's fucking massive.
But yeah, so the idea is that they're trying to treat depression with psilocybin. I should be clear as well that this is in sort of a controlled environment with therapy as well. So it's not just like, here's a mushroom. Oh man, I feel better now. It's here's a mushroom and also therapy.
Well, in many cases I've read about, it's like actually the mushroom being allowed to just, like, or whatever you take, the psychedelic doing its work, is what causes the benefit. But the therapist is there in case anything comes up, and also to steer you away
to
from
guide
anything
it.
Bad.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times I've read, the therapist doesn't really do anything. They're there as like almost like a first aider.
Oh yeah, no, that's
what's so amazing about it, is that it's not the therapy. Like, you take a thing, and your brain's... It's like your brain's natural state. It helps your brain get back to its natural state of, like, stuff's all right. And the therapist can help you not get to stuff's real bad. But, like, it's amazing that it's just... It's sort of a miracle drug. It's, if you could patent it, it would be the kind of thing that would be called a miracle drug.
Oh, God.
In pharmacology, right?
Yeah, so, no, I think... What I was trying to get at, I think, is more sort of that, like... I think a lot of people have a lot of blocks in place, like mental barriers in place, right? That you've got to dig through in therapy. And I think, you know, psychedelics probably let a few of those fall away, right?
Yeah,
and aid therapy in what it's... But you're so right, like, actually. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and there are examples of, like, people who take... Like, people with PTSD, again, quoting off memory, I'm not done my research, etc. That are, like, two trips and that's it. They don't... Like, their PTSD is cured.
Yeah.
Which is like, why are we not doing that with people with PTSD?
Yeah.
Obviously, I know.
Oh, hey, why are we not giving them drugs? But no, I agree.
To be clear, PsyGuys does not endorse or encourage the use of illicit drugs.
But I encourage the use of, like, where we can create therapeutic settings for this stuff.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so much more powerful than anything we have. It's amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely. I totally agree. I think we need to have more studies on this. And I'm really glad that they're kind of being done now, despite, you know, it being a very, very controlled substance, right? But yeah, I want to be clear. Don't just take this because you think it is going to make you feel good.
It's not going to.
No.
Yeah.
If you've got problems, like, it might not help, you know. Get involved in a trial. Speak to a doctor. Yeah, I mean, if we talk about other medical uses as well, though, like outside of sort of mental health, I think we spoke on the podcast before as well about it being used to help with tinnitus and things like that.
Yeah, I don't know anything scientifically about that, but like I going off memory, it was something around the idea, the theory was that if your tinnitus was caused by like your the audio signals from your ear reaching you in whatever you are, and there's some kind of interference along that sort of line, almost like an electrical signal, then if it could just find it, if your hearing could find a different path, you wouldn't have the tinnitus anymore.
Oh yeah, because
it's ultimately, if there's something being generated inside of the brain at some point, if it can either decide not to do that anymore or it can go around it, great. Like that would be so good.
I think that's a brilliant place to end on. There's just one thing left to do.
Oh.
It's the Quickfire Quiz.
Dun, 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 dun. Magic Truffles Edition.
So the rules for the Quickfire Quiz are the same as always. I'll ask one question. That's one question between the two of you. The first person to buzz in with the correct answer after finish asking the question wins. What do they win, Luke?
To be honest, the prize is that you get to just stop trying to pretend to be a podcast person and just vibe on your truffles. That's the prize. And we both win.
And what's your buzzer, Noah?
Ah.
And Luke, what's your buzzer?
Oh.
My question for you is, what is the active ingredient in magic mushrooms? Yes, Noah.
Psilocybin.
Very good. And for a bonus point, what is that metabolized into?
Psilocybin. Psilocin.
Psilocin.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. You both win a point, which means you both get the prize. But before we go, we'd like to thank all of our patrons with an extra special thank you to executive producer Glitch Rabbit, and thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? Support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and at SciGuys on TikTok too. Or you can send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
@gmail.com. You can follow me at NotGore everywhere.
You can follow me at LukeCuffled everywhere.
You can follow me at NoFins everywhere, apart from Twitter, where it's NoFin Adams, and TikTok, where it's TheNoFins.
Bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.